Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I don't know if it occurred on this program on Friday or if it occurred on the Shabbat program that we do on Blog Talk Radio on Friday, but we were discussing the commonality between the two Shauls. Do you recall that, Kirk?
Which day? I think we kind of started it on this show, I thought.
I think we did. And then we wondered if there was a correlation between Shaul.
Oh, no. That was Friday night.
Right, and Shaul. And for those who don't know, the creator of the Christian religion, the author of half of the Christian New Testament, the guy that replaced the Torah and its teaching with the Gospel of Grace, his name is really Shaul. And Shaul was changed because it's an interesting Hebrew name. It means question him. And Shaul, a Benjamite, changed his name to Paul, which is a Latin name, a Roman name. And it means lowly and little. So I would like to review the story of the other Shaul, of the first Shaul. And I would like to do that to see if there might be a prophetic insight that might help us understand the second man to be a Shaul. And there were a lot of things in common. They were both of the smallest tribe. They were both Benjamites, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
So and Yahweh describes the Benjamite as the wolf, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
That tears his people to ribbons. Shaul didn't work out very well for the Israelites, did he?
Well, they wanted a king. They said, I got to have one like everybody else.
Yeah, let me, this was sent to me, I think, by Jackie. It's a Christian website that wants you to know that there are two great Sauls in the scripture, and that and there's the prophetic link between them, although they can't figure it out, and they can't figure it out because, of course, they start in the wrong place. They take the presentation of Saul out of context. So let's begin. It says there are two prominent people in the Bible. Well, people aren't prominent. And the name of Yahweh's testimony is Torah, Prophets, and Psalms, not Bible. Named Saul, and it's actually Shaul. He's questioned him. Synonymous, by the way, with Sheol.
Mm-hmm.
It's written, exactly Sheol and Saul, or Shaul, are written exactly the same way. A really bad name. That's a really bad name. You don't want that name. One was the first king of the land of Israel. The other was the first century evangelist whose name later was changed to Paul. Was his name changed to Paul, or did he change his name to Paul?
No, he changed it.
You
Everybody
betcha.
Changed it for him.
Yeah, he betcha. So that's really significant, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And evangelist is probably a fair term for the Paul of the Christian New Testament. He proclaimed his own message. He was one who claimed that he had his very own beneficial message, and that's what he proclaimed. Now, it says Saul, who is Shaul, the first king, was the first king of Israel. He was the son of Kish, of the tribe of Benjamin. And they, of course, don't know why that is significant. We'll talk about that in a moment. He became king about the time that Shemuel, the Hebrew word Shem, S-H-M, you know what the Hebrew word S-H-M means? Shem?
Shem is name.
Name. Mm-hmm. Name. So this prophet was called, because El, of course, is the Almighty Shepherd, Almighty God. This is his name, was the name of the Almighty Shepherd and God.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So,
Yes.
Okay. So he was in the business. Yeah, he was a prophet of Yahweh. Yahweh used him for many, many years to help the people understand the Torah, to live in harmony with the Torah. That was his job. Shamuel, whose name means the name of Almighty God, the Almighty Shepherd, his job was to help people understand the Torah. He was of the tribe, so this Shaul was also of the tribe of Benjamin. He became king at the time that Shamuel had retired as the last judge of Israel. That's not really true. Shamuel was retiring. He was old. He finally reached old in his life. And as he wanted to appoint another judge. If you read the book of Judges, the purpose of being judgmental was that Yahweh established a group of people who could convey the Torah's teaching to the people and could provide adjudication on matters between people consistent with the Torah, and their sole document for making such determinations was the Torah. They were limited to explaining for judging on the basis of the Torah in human disputes. Okay, that's in. And so Shamuel wanted to appoint another one to do so. Although the land of Israel had been ruled by judges, the people were clamoring to have a king like other nations. Shamuel asked this as the Lord. He asked Yahweh for advice. And God directed Shamuel to Saul and to anoint him as the first king. And that's what they've done is they've left an entire chapter out. They go and say that the story of Saul starts at the ninth chapter of Second Samuel. Folks, it starts in the eighth chapter. If you don't read the eighth chapter, you would think that God chose Saul.
Saul. Yeah.
And the implication here is that, well, if God chose Shaul, that he would have chosen the other Shaul, right?
Sure.
Isn't that the implication here? God chose him.
God chose him. You should accept him.
Yeah, well, let's talk about how that choice came to be made. Will we? Maybe we could learn something here. And it came about when Shamuel was old that he appointed his sons to be judges over Israel. Now, the name of his firstborn was Yoel. Yoel, you know what that means?
Go ahead.
Yahweh is God. Yoel means Yahweh is God. The name of his second son was Abiyah. You know what Abiyah means?
Well, Abba would be father.
Mm-hmm. The father is Yah.
Father is
Yah is the father. So, firstborn son is Yahweh is the Almighty Shepherd and God, and the second one is Yahweh is the father. Do you think that Shamuel knew Yahweh?
I think so.
I think so. They were judging in Beersheba. His sons, however, did not walk in his ways, but turned aside after dishonest gain and took bribes and perverted justice. You know, we can do our best to point our sons to the truth, but they ultimately get to make their own decision. And these sons chose to take bribes. They perverted justice. Then all of the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Shamuel at Ramah. And they said to him, "Behold, you've grown old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king for us to judge us like all the other Gentile nations." But the thing was displeasing in the sight of Shamuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." And Shamuel went and communicated with Yahweh. Now, why do you think that it would have been displeasing to Shamuel that the people were asking for a king to judge over them?
Because the connection should be straight to Yahweh. Yahweh
Correct.
Wants to be your father. He doesn't need you, anybody in between you.
Right, exactly. And in addition to that, the judges had been established not between Yahweh and the Israelites, but to adjudicate based on the Torah between Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
And so Yahweh already had a plan in place, and Shamuel had read the Torah. He knew about the plan, and he knew that Yahweh had, just in the case of Moshe, allowed Moshe to rule on disputes between Israelites based upon the Torah, and that Moshe had and Yahweh had introduced Yahweh directly to the children of Israel, and there were no intermediaries. Now the people wanted a king, and they wanted to be controlled by a king rather than to be led by Yahweh. So when Shamuel heard this, he says, oh, no, danger, don't go there. Bad idea, an idea that's inconsistent with the very plan that Yahweh established. So he recognized it. Now, why do you think Shamuel recognized it and Christians can't figure it out?
Well, because he read the Torah every day.
Mm-hmm. All right, got to know Yahweh based upon his
plan,
his teaching. Yeah, that's it. That is the answer. And Yahweh said to Shamuel. Now, this is quoted in first person. And Yahweh said to Shamuel. Do we have any first-person quotes from the other Shaul, the one that changed his name to Paul? And Yahweh said to me, blank, blank,
not
blank.
No,
and
never. He always says, I say.
Yeah, that's right.
God said this, but
so,
I say.
And Yahweh said to Shamuel, listen to the voice of the people in regard to all they say to you. Now, you would say, all right, so God's going along with it. God must, you know, God's differing from his Torah. He's going along with the plan, no?
No, it's free will.
No, what God is saying is free will. Free will. They have chosen. This is not Islam. I'm not choosing for them.
No.
They get to choose. They've made their choice. I've heard their choice. Give them their choice. And that's made perfectly clear by the next word. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me for being king over them. Oh, man, the pain of it. Now, we'll go forward and we'll think about the other Shaul, this one named Paul. Samuel means the name of God. Listen to the voice of the people in regard to all that they say to you. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me for being a ruler over them. I read that this morning, and I know I knew it was there. But still, I read it this morning, Kirk, and I was just stopped dead. And you know what screamed in my mind is Yosef's statement regarding the other Shaul.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, where he said, I have come in my Father's name, and yet you have rejected me.
Mm-hmm.
But another, he will come in his own name, and him you will accept. How is that this statement any different than that one?
Not a bit. It's heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking. Yeah, it's just heartbreaking. I'm convinced that the single saddest statement that Yosha ever made is that one.
Mm-hmm.
And I am convinced that the single saddest statement Yao ever made is this one.
I think that built a heck of a case for that.
Yeah. And so if you want to look at prophecies and you want to view this prophetically,
mm-hmm.
The two men, both named Shaul, both are Benjamites. Both were chosen by the Gentiles and the people over Yahweh. To choose either of them, you had to reject Yahweh. Paul rejects Yahweh. So the only way that you can choose Paul, choose the Christian New Testament, choose his gospel of grace, choose to follow Paul's teaching,
mm-hmm.
is to reject Yahweh.
Absolutely. It is that cut and dry.
It is that cut and dry. And God knows it. Now, it's interesting here that God said, listen to what the people want. Why? Because of free will. You want to choose to reject God? That is your option. God says, you know, and if you, this is what's really interesting here. If you choose to reject God, God has no problem giving you someone to lead you further away. Think about that for a moment. There is every possibility, just as God got this man to be the perfect patsy to lead people away from him. That, you know, it's, he wasn't leading people who were seeking him away. He was making certain that those who had already rejected him would never come in contact with him again. He wants those who, if you've rejected Yahweh because of whatever it might be, your religion, your politics, if you've rejected him, he wants no part of you. He will gladly give you over to somebody else that will lead you further astray.
I think that's stated somewhere. I can't remember, but I know it's he's kind of like a hasten it.
Yeah. You know,
hasten
yeah.
your removal
yeah.
or something.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, Yahweh predicted Shaul. He told us when he would arrive, what he would say, who he would speak to, what kind of an ego he'd have. He told us, warned us about his fixation with an animosity towards the circumcision, and called him the plague of death. And so, in a very real sense, Yahweh introduced Christians to the man who would lead them further astray.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, if you're going to reject God, God wants you as far away from him as you can possibly be. He shows no empathy towards you, no love for you, no concern about you. For him, it's good riddance. And so this notion that he would actually say, yeah, go ahead and listen to them. They've made their choice. They don't want any part of me. They have rejected me. Give them over to someone to lead them so far away that I never have to hear from them. And he says this later. That ultimately they'll cry out to me and I'm not going to listen. But it gets worse. Oh, or so much better in terms of its prophetic implications. This is a direct prophetic implication of Shaul, because you cannot accept Paul unless you first reject Yahweh. Like all the deeds, like all of the acts, like everything that they have done, since the day that I brought them up from Egypt, even unto this day, in that they have forsaken, separated, estranged themselves from me, and served other gods, they are doing this to you also. The Gospel of Grace. That's a pagan goddess, if I've ever heard one.
Mm-hmm.
Gospel is a pagan concept. Church is a pagan concept. Bible is a pagan concept.
Lord.
Trinity. Crosses. All of it. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. So, in making the connection, one that the Christian writer missed, is the only way that you can accept Shaul. Paul, is to not only have rejected Yahweh, to have separated yourself from him, and to gone off serving other gods.
Mm-hmm.
So, what other gods are there in Christianity? Well, there's the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
There's Jesus. There's this Trinity that has a Holy Ghost in it, or a Holy Spirit. All based on the Babylonian religion. They celebrate as their holiest day Easter, which is named after the Queen of Heaven and the Mother of God.
Mm-hmm.
They actually make statues to the Queen of Heaven and Mother of God and Mary and Ishtar. It's got all sorts of pagan symbolism, from halos to crosses to steeples to the name church, the name Bible.
Christmas
is a pagan celebration. That's the birth of the Son of the Son.
Mm-hmm.
They their Jesus is modeled after Dionysus.
Mm-hmm.
So it's It's the same thing. You know, if you're going to reject Yahweh, you are separated from him. You are azab. You're estranged from him.
Oh, and we're in the world, azab.
Yeah, worst word in the world. Yeah, this is azab here. There is no worse word. And so if you want to see the parallels between Shaul and Shaul, between King Saul and the wannabe apostle Paul, where you're going to find those parallels is that to follow either of them, you first have to reject Yahweh and then be estranged, separated from him, damned.
Which is Sheol, by the way.
Yes.
Place of separation.
That is correct. Shares the same name. And this is really heart-wrenching stuff coming from God. He is telling you that if you want to follow Paul, you want to follow King Saul, Shaul, then you're not only rejecting Yahweh, you're separating yourself from him. And you're worse than that, you're off chasing after false gods.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord.
Yeah, I looked at this morning. Yeah.
Right.
You know, every time you look up Lord in a Hebrew translation, it always goes back to Yahweh or Yahweh sometimes, but Yahweh. But yeah. I looked up an English thing; it's an Anglo-Saxon word, and see if this sounds like Yahweh to you. He's a he's a master, he's a ruler, he's a governor, and he's a monarch. It means to domineer. To rule with arbitrary or a despotic sway.
Wow.
okay.
Despotic sway. Yeah, it is. It's Satan. It describes Satan's nature, his ambition. It describes the Lord as the Lord is predicted or presented in religion. That's why the Christian wrote of the Lord for advice. Now, Shamuel did not consult the Lord for advice. Paul did.
Mm-hmm.
Shamuel says right here, contacted Yahweh for advice. It says it right here. That's who we contacted. But, wow, the parallels here are extraordinary. He's telling you all about the man and the very plight of Yisrael. And, oh my, they served other gods. Now then, listen to their voice, however. You shall solemnly warn them and tell them of the procedure, the consequence of this king who's going to reign over them. Did Yahusha warn us about Shaul? Did he tell us about the consequence of having Paul rule over them? How about the Sermon on the Mount?
Mm-hmm.
How about the Olivet Discourse?
Yeah, absolutely. Very plain.
So when Yahweh told us exactly what Yahweh's going to tell us. Going to tell us the consequence of choosing a man to rule to follow. In fact, this is not just of Shaul, Paul. This is of politics, of military governance, of economic scheme. He's going to go in and he's going to now, Yahweh is going to tell us what the problem is with human institutions, all of them. Religious institutions, political institutions, economic institutions, military institutions. He's going to delineate what man empowered over men, what they do to those who are their subjects.
I see the American military all over this thing.
Ooh, not just the American military.
I do too.
But I see American governance.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, the church with the tithing.
Oh yeah, what follows is a stunning prophecy of what human institutions would do to those who chose them. He says, so warn them, just as Yahweh and Yahusha warned us, warn them and tell them of the process that this king will use who reigns over them. So Shamuel spoke all the words that Yahweh had said to the people who had asked him of a king. And they said, this will be the process, this will be the procedure of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and set them in place for himself. He will set your sons in his war chariots and among his horsemen, and they will run before his chariots. Oh, boy, that's the American military, isn't it, in today's world?
Oh, yeah.
Militaries in general, though. We don't have to be so focused on America. People listen to this program in New Zealand and Australia and throughout South America and Mexico and Canada and throughout Europe. This speaks of militaries. What do the kings, what do the leaders, what do the presidents do? What's their process? They take your sons and they set them in their war machines, the chariots, and among their infantry and cavalry. And they run before their chariots. They send them off to war. That's what they do. Kings, rulers, take your sons, and they send them off to war. What did King George the Second do when he decided to lie about Iraq?
He took all the army and wasted it in Iraq.
Correct. And he will appoint for himself commanders of the thousands and of fifties, and some to do his plowing and to reap his harvest and to make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots.
Armies have to be fed.
Boy, wasn't it Jefferson that said that the single greatest threat to freedom was a standing and established military? Why? Because the leaders will take from the people the protectivity of the people to make weapons of war. And he's making it really clear. The weapons of war are not to protect the people.
Mm-hmm.
They protect the king.
Yes.
The American military does not protect any American from any outside aggressor. There is no one poised at America's borders or on America's shores that has the capability or the will, not now, not ever, to invade this country. The American military is established for the same reason that Shaul would establish the military, and that is to protect him, to serve him.
When you point that out to someone, though, they absolutely are stunned.
They are stunned. But you go through, America has been engaged in 101 wars. Not a single one of those wars did the American military successfully keep a foreign invader from robbing Americans of their freedoms, from occupying America. There isn't a single battle that America fought to preserve American freedom. Not one.
No, but we can steal your stuff.
We can go and invade your country. We can break your country. We can burn your women and children alive. We can make weapons of war that whoop you and your weapons of war. We can do that kind of stuff. Good at breaking stuff. Good at killing people. Good at having the sons go off to run these weapons of war based upon the needs and desires of the leader. George Bush told me personally, before he was elected president, that he wanted to be a wartime president because he thought he could use those wartime conditions to his advantage. He took the lives of Americans' youth and squandered it in that way. So God is saying he's going to take your sons and he's going to use your sons to support his military. And he will appoint for himself commanders. Yeah, all these people and pay them. They're going to do his plowing. They're going to do his reaping for his harvest. Patriotism. Yeah, I'm going to establish a big government. Going to have all those people loyal to him, dependent upon him, for his benefit, for his reaping. And he will take your daughters for perfumers and for cooks and for bakers. Yeah, he's going to take your daughters too, though. He'll use them in all manner of personal service. To whom? To the people? No.
King and his crowd.
For the king and his crowd. And he will take the best of your fields and your vineyards and your olive groves, and he will give them to his servants. That's the whole idea of progressive taxation, of the entitlement state in America. The leaders take from those who are productive, and then they not only keep a large portion for themselves, but they create a dependency class by giving what you have produced to others so that their servants become ever more dependent upon them, ever more loyal to them because of that dependence. is describing what we witness that's wrong with America and much of the world right here in this term. He's saying, yeah, that's what your leaders are going to do. They're going to take from you, and they're going to squander it with those who are serving them. Wow. This is, I mean, hard to imagine a more appropriate prediction for what we are experiencing today, because today we get to choose our leaders, don't we? That's where we go. We go and vote. We choose our leaders. This is the one we choose.
Well, some people pray about it before they do that.
Yeah, they do. The people, this is the people's choice. When the people choose another man or woman to lead them, they're doing so after they have rejected Yahweh, after they have estranged themselves from him. So, you know, I've told people, I don't vote. I don't think you should vote either. Boy, I tell you what, that was appropriate advice, wasn't it? That's the advice that Yahweh's giving us right here. Don't do that. I said to people, don't let your son or daughter or yourself serve in the military. Don't honor the military. Don't be patriotic. Isn't Yahweh saying the same thing right here?
Just very, very clear to me.
He's just saying it before nations were to do this, telling us why a nation ought not to do it. He's exposing and condemning politics, militarism, more. Kirk, I get to admit, and gleefully, that I was wrong. I have said a bunch of times that I thought that the most aggressive, godly expose against religion and politics was Yosha's judgment of the political, liberal political leaders and conservative religious leaders of his day, as it's recorded in Matanya. Right before he begins the Olivet Discourse, he condemns religion and politics. And I thought that was the most outspoken, hateful, godly presentation against religion and politics. I was wrong. This is far, far better, far more detailed.
Yeah. Carrie, all the time, too. She says when she hears something on the news about the government or the military or something, she always goes to this one.
Well, so your wife is also, well, certainly smarter than me.
But she's smarter than both of us, but let's don't.
Okay,
that
probably
now.
Combined.
We don't have to say that real loud.
Okay. Okay. The reality is that she's right. This is the most open, hateful, mean, and yet horribly accurate depiction of the consequence of religion, politics, and militarism.
Mm-hmm.
It does something that I really enjoy. First of all, I always like saying things that are consistent between Yosha and the Torah prophets and Psalms, because I came to the conclusion quite some time ago that Yosha didn't say anything that wasn't first revealed to us in the Torah prophets and Psalms. And, you know, you might turn to this passage and say, you know, where did God, go off on this kind of an explicit diatribe against religion and politics? And, well, you'd say, oh, right here. But there's something else I like about this, and there's more to it. He hadn't finished yet.
Oh, yeah.
It gets worse. I enjoy it when I see things that are affirming of what we have come to know and understand.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to imagine something more affirming of the reasons that Yahweh asked us to walk away from our country before we engage in the covenant. And what Yahweh is saying is, you can either reject your country, human institutions that act like this, or you can reject me.
Yeah.
And that's the choice. You're either, if you're going to accept the human institutions, you're rejecting him. If you if you're willing to reject the human institutions, you can accept him, but you have to reject them first, because this is how they are attempting to deprive us. He then talks about taxation or tithing. He said they will take a tenth of your seed. of your vineyards, and they will give to his officers and to his servants. That's the Christian tithe, isn't it? That's the taxation of government. They're going to take 10% of whatever you produce.
Yeah.
On top of controlling your means of production and taking that, they're going to take a tenth of whatever you produce. And what are they going to do? They're going to use it to bribe those who are loyal to them.
Mm-hmm.
They'll also take your means of production, your male servants and your female servants and the best young men and your donkeys, and they will all be taken to work for them.
Mm-hmm.
So your means of production, all of that's going to be obfuscated. It's going to be taken by the leaders and used by them.
Now, didn't Yahweh already tell them he would protect them?
Yes.
They didn't have to have a big standing army and steal people's stuff?
Yes. Didn't they make the walls of Jericho fall by blowing their trumpets and singing?
Yeah. Well, a tough army there.
Whew. And he will take take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his servants. What have we become?
Servants to the state.
Right. We have a lord serf scenario again. They set the rules. They enforce the rules. They control what you can do with your production. They control what you can do with your property. You step outside of their rules, and they will confiscate your freedom. They will confiscate your property. All of it is exactly what we witness today. Wow. And you will cry out in that day because of your leader, whom you have chosen for yourselves. But Yahweh, he's not going to answer you in that day. I'd like to pick this up again tomorrow.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll be here.
Let's return to this passage.